In this video, we're going to talk about training and developing your people. And this is the heart of what we're called to do as believers in the marketplace. We've been talking about biblical standards for businesses and revealing Jesus. We really have to reveal Jesus to those that we work with. And so that's why human resource management, just like all of the rest of the disciplines that we've been talking about in business, the objective is to disciple. In this case, it's to disciple your workers, your contractors, your vendors, potentially, certainly your employees. And this is what discipleship is. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 11:1. And so how do you train and develop your people? You need to encourage them. And this might not come across explicitly right off the bat, but eventually they're going to want to know the reason for the hope that's within you. They're going to wonder, you know, you seem to be working for something, a higher purpose than yourself. And that's what Colossians 3:23 says, is to whatever you do, do it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So that as we do that, as we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we are imitating, we are encouraging other people to imitate us and the cultural values that we instill in our company to reflect those things. And that ultimately is a reflection of Jesus Christ. That's really the bedrock for human resource management. And with that, we ought to disciple our workers holistically. So this isn't just, in terms of them knowing how to do a certain formula in Excel or how to do a certain task there on the assembly line, but you really ought to consider those people. If we are to be disciple makers, then that means that we are concerned for that person's family. We're concerned for the way that that person is coming across to others. We're concerned with their professional development. Not only that they're going to get the job done today, but that they're going to develop as people. And this is what discipleship is. It's more than just this is how you do this specific task. But as author Leonard Sweet said, a disciple was someone, and I'm talking about in ancient Judaism and the rabbinical system, the disciple system, a disciple was someone who learned a skill or way of life from a teacher. With respect to Jesus, a disciple was a follower, not just of a set of teachings, but of an entire way of living. And I also love this passage, although it might not have been intended in a discipleship sense. When Andrew Carnegie, the big titan of industry a century ago, he was asked how he managed to hire A reporter asked him, how did you manage to hire 43 millionaires? That's just remarkable. And he basically was saying that they became millionaires as a result of having worked in his company. He said, men are developed the same way gold is mined. Several tons of dirt must be moved to get an ounce of gold. But you don't go into the mine looking for dirt. You go in looking for gold. And that's what we ought to do in our training development of people. When we bring them on, when we recruit them into the company, when we start to see some of those issues, and I'm not talking about character issues, and I mean, if there are things that might, the person's just coming across the wrong way, they need to be let know about that. Otherwise, they need to be let go. And that they need to go and find a really kind of work on their character development, if and when they decide to come back and approach your company about getting their job back. But the point here is that everybody's got junk in their lives. And so when you're bringing people on, just because they don't kind of have everything perfectly together, or what they like to say in the HR world, they're not a rock star employee. You have to understand that there's still gold in that person. And I'm not just talking about the revenue that they can bring in for your company, but this is a person that you can help to disciple into the image of Jesus Christ. And if people are truly to develop and be discipled in your company to become all that God has called them to be, then there really has to be an environment of trust and not this sort of suspicion of not being able to entrust tasks and jobs. And this is particularly true with smaller companies where the owner feels like he or she is the only one that can get the job done well. You really have to trust people. And so we know that God loves us, but sometimes we think about how he loves us kind of like you loved your crazy uncle, where you just sort of tolerate that person. The kind of trust, the kind of love that God has in mind, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, is a kind of love that always trusts. So if you truly love somebody, you trust them. And yes, some people are not going to receive that trust. I think about the parable of the talents, how this one steward, he just buried his talent. He would not fully actually receive what the master had entrusted, had made available to him. He just was fearful or whatever, and he just kind of buried it. And I think that's what people do a lot of times. But nonetheless, when you bring somebody onto your team, there is a certain level of implied trust there, and that you need to deliver on if that person is really going to develop, if they're really going to make an impact, positive impact in and through your company. So trust that person with responsibility. And with that, establish covenants with your workers. And as we talked about previously in the customer care section, you can't uphold covenants with your customers unless you uphold covenants with your workers. And so to promise your customers that you're going to deliver on your promises, but you have employees that don't deliver on promises, or you're not delivering on your promises to your employees, it's not going to add up, and it's eventually going to catch up with the company, and the customer is going to see that there's, I'm seeing something just on the tip of the iceberg, but there's something deeper there. And typically it's going to go back to those problems internally of agreements, covenants not being upheld. And what is a covenant? It's an obligation. It's not just an agreement. It's not just sort of a fair weather, handshake kind of a thing where, you know, some days I might feel like doing my part, or, you know, living up to showing up on time, all of those kinds of, or treating people with respect on the shop floor, different things like that. Those are all really ought to be part of the covenant of how we're going to agree to treat each other here in this company. And with that mutual admiration, that people really ought to feel honored to work at your company, especially when they get a hold of the fact that you're committed to making disciples of Jesus Christ and representing the Lord through your company. And they ought to treat, you know, the golden rule there, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so you as an employer, or as a manager, or as an entry-level worker, whatever your role is in your company, you really have to cultivate this mutual admiration of gratitude that you get to work in the place where you work. And then over communicate the covenant and the terms and what this is the way we said we're going to treat each other here in this. And I'm really gleaning here from a man, a thought leader that I really respect. In fact, my company published his book. His name is Ford Taylor, and he's done this for multi-million dollar companies very effectively, is to help them define how are we going to treat each other in this company. And that book is Relational Leadership, and I recommend that you get a copy of that. And the idea of relational leadership is that relationships are important, yes. Getting the transaction done, getting the job done is important, yes, but those have to be blended in a company in order to get the job done and to make people feel valued. And ultimately, although he doesn't talk about this explicitly in the book, it is about discipleship and revealing Jesus through our businesses. So establish how you're going to treat each other and how you're going to treat your customers and the work ethic that you're getting, the values that you're going to uphold in your company. And make sure that your team consists of people who will uphold that covenant. And so when I think about that, this passage comes to mind, this Good Shepherd passage in John chapter 10 verses 12 and 13. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. And so certainly we get hired by companies to do different things, but here in this case, Jesus is talking about sort of a hired hand mentality, kind of a mercenary versus a missionary mentality, where I'm only here just to make money. I'm not here to make meaning. I'm not here to make disciples. I'm just here to get a paycheck. And those are not the kind of people that you want to have on your team. That really, it demonstrates a lack of integrity. And those are not the people, when you bring in people that have integrity, your company starts to lack integrity because your company is your people. And so when you're recruiting, you really want to think about recruiting. You're going after people of integrity, people who have skill. That's not always easy to find. And so you really have to go after them versus kind of taking this hiring approach of, well, I'll just kind of beg for workers and just kind of take any warm body I can get and not really be selective about it. And so employees versus contractors can still have that hired hand mentality or not. Some of them, they really will. In some cases, they are entrepreneurs themselves. And so when you outsource work to them, that they are owners of their own company. And so they are going to make sure that whatever jobs their company touches, that they are going to do pursue with excellence. And so sometimes you can get better work from a contractor than you can from an employee. And I know some of you know what I'm talking about. But then although you need to pursue people that have, that don't have this hired hand mindset, but that have more ownership mentality, we also have a responsibility as leaders at whatever level of the organization we're in to help people buy in to the covenant, to help people buy in to what we're doing here and the culture and why we do what we do, and help people to make meaning. And this is the advantage that Christians really have in the marketplace, is if people, as Simon Sinek said, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. If that's true, and I believe it is, then Christians have the ultimate advantage, because our why we do what we do is to make disciples, is to reveal the God of the universe to humanity and to shape culture in that sort of a way. And so it should be easier for us to help people buy in to that vision. And lastly here, when it comes to training and development and establishing covenant, and that covenant keeping is part of the development. I mean, that really is, when people leave your company, the way in which they were expected and that they had to buy in to that culture, that is what is going to stick with them long after they leave your company, or not, if it's just not present in your company yet. But some people will just unilaterally decide that this isn't for me, and they're going to leave, and that's okay. Some people, they're going to violate the covenant, but if you have clearly, you've over communicated the terms of, this is how we're going to treat each other, this is what's going to happen whenever we don't treat each other that way, and these are going to be the consequences. And so you're making it that person's choice if it's their choice if they want to leave. If they want to break the covenant, they are saying, I am not part of this team. I am not part of the meaning making. I'm not part of what you're trying to do in this company. I'm probably just here for a paycheck. And when my expectations don't get met, or I'm not getting paid enough, or, you know, I just don't like this, emphasis on character and having to just kind of live up to standards that maybe they haven't been expected in places where there just wasn't mentorship, there wasn't training, there wasn't personal development in a holistic sort of a way that comes out of a heart of a disciple maker. And so maybe that's just not for them. Maybe it's just not for them yet, but then they'll realize, because, you know, when you work in a culture like that, it is so much more valuable than just the money that you're taking home in your paycheck to be able to experience that level of a culture. And so other things you can do when it comes time to part ways with somebody, if they just decide that this isn't for them, is to give them a day of reflection and say, look, this is going to be a paid day off. This is before you actually fire them and say, you know, and again, I should use that term carefully. It's not as though you're firing them, because you've made it their choice. And when they decide that they no longer want to live up to that, I mean, they've made the decision. I mean, there's a story that Ford Taylor tells in his book, Relational Leadership, where in his Ford's t-shirt company, he would work with a lot of employees that just had really rough pasts, and some of them had been in and out of prison and that sort of a thing. And one of the guys, he ended up stealing something. He refused to fess up to it, and everybody knew that he did it, even though he wouldn't fess up to it. And so finally, Ford just said, all right, if you don't come clean by the time I'm going to walk up to my office, which is up those stairs, and as soon as that door closes, this opportunity for you to come clean and to keep your job is going to be off the table. You're going to be gone. And so the guy just didn't take him seriously. And right as Ford, he walked up those stairs, right as the door was shutting, he could hear the voice of this employee saying, wait, wait, wait. But it was too late. He got up there and he knocked on Ford's door. He comes in and he tries to explain that he did it. He fessed up to it. He apologized, but Ford had to tell him it's too late. And years later, the guy ended up taking him to lunch and thanked him for his commitment to his culture and for how that example just really transformed his life. He was at a place where he was in a very vulnerable place, and that was the wake-up call that he needed, as Ford found out about years later. And that's why it's always about discipleship all the way until the ends. So you may feel like if you have to let somebody kind of make their choice to leave, that you're doing them a disservice, but in many ways that can be the best possible thing for them. You're standing on the culture that God has given to you, that God is calling you to uphold for the benefit of the other stakeholders in your company, the other workers, the customers, the vendors, everybody that depends on your business. And so you just cannot allow a lack of integrity to enter into your company, and otherwise it's just going to eventually turn into a house built on sand that will eventually just collapse. And so we need to always keep in mind that it's about discipleship all the way to the end with people. See you in the next video.